The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes, Stitcher, and nfl.com/Sheck.
S-H-E-K, Sheck.
Week 3 just about in the books. We're coming at you about a half an hour from kickoff of Monday Night Football. Jay Cutler, that handsome devil with that big head of hair that he has there, is warming up as we speak. So that sets the scene for where we are here in Studio 66. Maximum strength!
Or just new Studio 66.
You don't need to interrupt me every time I say that with that note, black tie behind the glass. All right, we're here in Studio 66 and ready to kibitz about the weekend that was with two of our pals. First of all, the host now of his own podcast here at NFL Media. It's called Move the Sticks, appropriately enough, because on Twitter, he's also at Move the Sticks, but I like to call him my pal. It's Daniel Jeremiah. What's the poop, fella?
Doing good, Dave. How we doing?
I'm doing well. Former scout, of course, if you're new to this program or to any of the podcasts out here, of course, Jeremiah, a former scout for the Eagles, Browns, and for the Ravens. Yes, DJ.
Before you introduce Handsome here, yes. There's one thing that I was thinking about today. Randomly popped into my head. Nothing to do with football, and I like to get to
sure.
Before we get into our football discussion.
You and I, our rainbows include colors that aren't in the NFL.
Why haven't we seen a new Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Well, Rick Moranis is probably 81 years of age.
I think...
Reboot?
Don't you think... You have children, right?
Yeah.
I think the premise of that... Like, I have young kids. I think they would like that. Why haven't we brought that back?
That is a fun one. We have a lot of things that we need to reboot. Here's the mistake that Hollywood makes. It's a point I've made many times, which is that while they're on the right track by remaking things, they're remaking things that were already done well the first time. You don't need to remake Psycho. They mastered it the first time around. Now, good premises that were poorly executed, bring those ones back. Like Small Wonder. That's a good one.
Ooh, nice.
It's the robot. You know, she's a girl. The father is a scientist, the suburban scientist, and he makes a preteen girl, but for some reason, without explanation, no one can know that she's a robot. You have to, she's got to be
passed. How do you say that, by the way? A robot?
The robot. People have mentioned many times before. Yeah, robot. Robot. Robot.
Wow.
That's one of those words.
Not
I struggle
even close.
With. Robot. 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 But yeah, so she's a robot, and but for some reason no one in the neighborhood can know. She has to be don't tell anyone. She has an older brother, which, by the way, also, what self-esteem must this child have that, wait, I wasn't good enough? You have to make a robot to supplement our family? That's weird stuff. Also, this brilliant scientist who can make a child or make a robot that looks so lifelike that everybody buys it's a child, he didn't have the forethought to think, what happens when she stays exactly the same size as all of her classmates continue to get bigger and bigger into high school? A lot of weird things about that show, Small
Wonder.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
All right, good talk there. Now let's talk about pro football with the third member here in Studio 66. Maximum strength! All the way from England, and he'll be heading over to London later this week to watch the first of the, I forget what they call those games, actually, by the way, but the games that happen over in London, they do them twice now a year. I'm sure he'll fill us in on this one, but I don't mind telling you, he's got a puss on because he is our resident Miami Dolphins fan. Enough said, it's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome, how are you?
I am very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. I'm
are
going
you?
To the International Series.
International Series, whatever they call
but
it.
I'm not well because of the Dolphins, but I am well to finally discover that I'm not the only one who says American words wrong. Robot.
Robot.
How do you say it?
Robot.
Robot.
No,
robot.
That would be closer. That would be closer.
No, bot.
That kind of sounds like you're from Baltimore the way you did it that time.
Robot.
Listen, there are a lot of directions to go off of these week three games. Many intriguing results, obviously. Surprising results. Almost inexplicable results. All you have to say, really, to make that point is, you know, we talked about last week. This happens, I guess, every time of the at this time every year in the 21st century with parity and free agency and the you know, it must certainly be true that there are more big injuries now than there were a couple of generations ago. So all these things present or result in results that you didn't anticipate this early in the season. But all you need to really say is the clear-cut best team in the NFL right now is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
That's weird by itself. But, Handsome, you, like I say, it's Monday. I was in the office next to you yesterday while the Dolphins were playing the Chiefs. I, of course, like the rest of the sane world, was busy watching the Seahawks and Broncos and was keeping an eye on the Cardinals and Niners. You and four other people, though, were watching the Dolphins. I'm not in the office. I mean across the
right.
face of the earth.
Yes.
We're watching this game. And every 3-4 minutes or so, there was some nasty shouting. It was acidic, unlike I've ever heard Handsome Hank on anything ever before. How are you? You're 1-2 Dolphins. That win against the Patriots, so impressive in week one, may as well have been 2 months ago the way it is now.
But,
go ahead.
Yeah, you remember on Thursday's podcast, I introduced you and Elliot to the phrase flattering to deceive.
Yes.
Which means someone who or something that does something very good and then can't ever follow that again. The Miami Dolphins, if you want the definition, really are flattering to deceive. They beat the Patriots and mm-hmm. got everyone excited, and then since then lost to the Bills, which, as I think I said at the time, I was expecting, but it was unforgivable what they did yesterday.
As soon as the game ended, in fact, Handsome, I said, scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you about Ryan Tannehill as an NFL quarterback? And your answer was
10.
11.
Well, was it 11?
No, it wasn't, but I was just stealing from Spinal Tap there. Daniel Jeremiah, former scout. We're now 2+ years in with this guy. It was a great story when he rose up. You know, of course, the former A&M wide receiver turned quarterback and all that. But at this point, how say you on Ryan Tannehill? Joe Philbin obviously has his doubts. He said, I can't make a decision right now. We'll let you know later in the week.
Yeah, which gets to my interesting point about this whole thing. Is this the motivational ploy for Ryan Tannehill, or is this him legitimately waffling and not wanting to see any more of Ryan Tannehill? That's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. My thing with Ryan Tannehill, I liked him coming out. Man, he's got, you know, a lot of hits on him early on in his career. We've seen that in the past affect guys. I mean, David Carr is kind of the one everybody always points to. But he's in college, I want to say, it was like 530 dropbacks his last year at A&M. He got sacked 8 or 9 times. I mean, it was unbelievably low. I know in my report I made a mention of the fact he gets the ball out quick. He sees things. He processes. The ball comes out. And now everything has really slowed down for him. I don't know what the deal is. He's not processing quickly. He's holding on to the football. I don't know if that's an accumulation of the hits he's taken. But then other times he's got clean pockets. His accuracy down the field has not been good pretty much throughout his early career here. So, yeah, there's cause for concern. You don't know if put it at 10, I might be putting it at 7 or an 8, but it's legit.
But don't you think, I feel like that this is the exact opposite reaction you want out of a head coach, which is you're 1-2. It's not like, I mean,
this
if
is the anti-Harbaugh. This is the right. anti-Jim Harbaugh approach. Jim Harbaugh would have came out and said, is he my quarterback? He's the best quarterback on planet Earth. Of course he's my quarterback. You know, everything else is it's everything else's fault. It's not his fault.
Settle down, Joe Philbin. Yeah. This is the you know, the world's not falling. I mean, it's, you're right there. You're in this division, you know, get right to ship next week and that's it.
But this isn't unique. I mean, in 3-4 weeks ago during the preseason, Matt Moore, who ironically is the guy that would replace Tannehill, had been playing poorly during preseason and during training camp, which is why they brought Brady Quinn in, really as a motivational ploy to get Moore to play better. So, you know, as a threat. In the end, that threat was non-existent. But I think, you know, this must be Philbin's motivational tactic. This is the way that he thinks is going to bring the best out of him.
But it's panic button, and it's not at all what you want, again, from the head coach. And maybe DJ's right. Yeah, maybe this lights a fire under the guy.
I don't like that. For any other position, I'm okay with it. You want to do it to a receiver, running mm-hmm. back, but this is supposed to be the leader of your football team, and you kind of undermine his authority a little bit. I don't like it.
I think the way it works best, and I don't honestly believe that this is Joe Philbin's intention, but if other members of the – forget about Tannehill, but if other members of the Dolphins offense or the Dolphins team generally say – you know, no way. This guy's our leader. We need him as our quarterback. Then that maybe works out well because that gives Tannehill the confidence of the guys who are on the field with him.
Well, why not, if you're going to make this move, though, why do it publicly?
Right.
That makes no sense to me. If you want to call him out, ideally to me, you do it one-on-one with him. You bring him in your office and you tell him, look, your level of play is not cutting it, and you're going to have to play better, or I'm going to make a change. That's the number one way I would deal with it. And then if you feel like that's not enough and you want to put, you know, collective pressure on him, do it in a team meeting and say, guys, across the board, we are not playing good enough, and I don't care who you are in this roster. Ryan Tannehill is our starting quarterback. Ryan, if you keep playing like this, you will no longer be our starting quarterback. And then mention whoever else you need to mention, but do that in the team setting. I don't like it when you run this stuff through the media. Yeah. I just don't like it.
And to be fair to Tannehill, that approach would work because as bad as he's been in some of these games, he's been let down by his receivers. He's been let down by his offensive line. Really, the only guys on the offense who can take any credit at this point is Lamar Miller had a decent game yesterday, and Noshon Moreno, when he was healthy, looked pretty good for them.
What do you think, DJ? This is something that I think fans do a lot of. I certainly do it, and it maybe started back in the late 80s, early 90s, watching University of Houston. You see Andre Ware set the world on fire with his passing numbers. I mean, numbers the likes of which we still have never seen repeated, except at University of Houston. Once Andre Ware was drafted highly in the NFL, then David Klingler, his understudy, did the exact same thing, and you realized, oh, I see. It's not the guy. It's the system that's making that happen.
Are you going to even give Timmy Chang any credit at all for what he did in Hawaii?
Colt Brennan is asking what's wrong with him.
But along those lines, is it now – I mean, would you be concerned if you are the Browns and you have Johnny Football because Kenny Hill is putting up huge numbers for A&M, and before that, Ryan Tannehill was pretty good himself?
Yeah, and the other part of that that's interesting is when you had Gabbert coming out of Missouri – you had,
yeah, right.
Looking at his numbers, you go, wait a second, Chase Daniel threw for 9 trillion yards in this system, but you didn't come nearly close to those numbers. So you do kind of look at the situation that they're in, the offense they're in, and what that leads to. I've always said to people a lot of times, if I'm being critical of a player, I'll have people on Twitter say, how can you say he was first-team all-conference? He broke this record and that record. Scouting, that doesn't mean anything. Right. It's all situational in terms of what you're asked to do and what you do, and the numbers are worthless. So I don't think that really changes anything. I think that's always been that way.
Put you on the spot, redraft them real quick, fellas. Who do you like now? We've barely seen them, but now Blake Bortles. Yeah. We saw him for a half look terrific, really. You know, I mean, he threw a couple picks, but still, there's an electricity around
down,
what he's doing.
The long touchdown to Allen Hurns where he broke all those tackles, they were down 37-3. With 7 minutes remaining in the game, playing against backups from Indianapolis.
But you can see when he hits the field that
it was good and bad. He threw two picks, one of which got brought back for a touchdown. He has the Dan Marino fake spike touchdown pass handsome. I know that.
I love the idea of doing that.
It's the second time he's done it.
Yeah.
He did it in the preseason You can't come out and do it twice. Marino did it once in his career, and Blake Bortles pulls that twice in two games.
You know how coaches, going back to Bill Walsh, like to script those first 15 to 20 plays? Is that like in the next script?
It is like a magician who only knows one card trick and just keeps going to that one. Like, all right, we're tired of that one. Can you do something new, man?
But with rookie quarterbacks, they say, what can he do well? Maybe it's like, whatever it is, second down at the 20-yard line. Let's go with the fake spike here.
Who looks best? And I'll put this to you, DJ, since you spent your professional days evaluating these things. Does anybody now jump out at you as like, clearly now, see that in hindsight, that's clearly the most talented QB?
Well, that's a tricky question. Who's the most talented? Who can do the most things?
Well, who would you most want?
I'm going to stick with Bridgewater, who I was with from the beginning of the process here. So I'm going to stick with him. I thought he did some good things in that game. I think he's got quick feet. I think he's got a quick mind. You saw him work through things, take what the defense gives you. I think as he gets more comfortable, you'll see him dial some more stuff up down the field. But, man, from sticking with Bridgewater here, the interesting thing with him when he was picked, right, a lot of people said, myself included, this is a great situation for him. He can sit behind Matt Cassel for a handful of games. Okay, well, that's been eliminated. Now it's less than a handful he's thrown in the lineup. He'll have Adrian Peterson he can hand the ball off to. He has Kyle Rudolph at tight end, who's a nice intermediate target. And then you got Cordarrelle Patterson on the outside. Now he's in the mix here earlier than expected. No Adrian Peterson, no Kyle Rudolph. It is him and 84 rock and roll, and that's what he's got.
And by the way, who's that good in that division? And I want to get into some of these more compelling divisional races as they, you know, set up just 3 weeks into the season. Meantime, Handsome, not Tom Brady, the other three QBs, which one's the best or which one's the least bad right now?
In the AFC East.
AFC East.
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to go with Geno Smith, and I haven't seen enough from him to really believe that he's the second best. But
reference that the game hasn't started yet,
right.
By
yeah,
the way.
Right, right.
Just in
yeah,
case
fair
he throws
enough, yeah.
six picks tonight, yes. then hands him off the
exactly.
hook.
Is that where you're going to?
I mean, I wouldn't go with E.J. Manuel.
I wouldn't go E.J. Manuel
either. And as down as I am on Tannehill, I don't know. Him and Geno Smith, it's a toss-up to me right now.
I compared Geno Smith and Tannehill. When Geno Smith came out, that's who I compared
yeah,
him to,
I see
Ryan
that.
Tannehill. And I gave him the same grade, exactly the same grade coming out. So I think they're very similar to one another. I think the difference between them right now would be that Geno Smith is playing with more confidence. Yeah. And I think a little bit of that, we touched on one head coach basically stripping a quarterback of confidence. And we know how Rex Ryan is constantly pumping up Geno Smith and believing in him. So that, to me, is the biggest difference. I think Geno Smith's a more confident guy, and I'd go with him.
Well, it's starting to shape up. There were some mirages early, but it is starting to look like, unless that Bills defense proves itself to be special just about week in and week out, this is once again going to be a walk to glory for Tom Brady and company. Not that that team's that good. They barely beat the Raiders in yeah. Foxborough, and the offensive line, we now know that seems to be a legitimate problem for them. I want to hear your thoughts on that, fellas, but also, what do you make of teams, including Derek Carr and the Raiders, going out of their way to pick on Darrelle Revis? They're throwing at Darrelle Revis. What gives here, DJ?
Well, I mean, look, Darrelle Revis is not what he was when he was a little bit younger. He's still a
That's
a
not
really
the pattern, though. That's not the pattern. It's 2 years after knee injury. You should be back up
yeah,
to 100%.
But this is a different position, too. I mean, that's a challenging position that you're in there. This is not a tight end. This is not an offensive tackle or even a running back. In a reactive position like that, you lose a little bit of a step, it's going to show up. But to me, that is not really the issue with this football team. To me, it's, and I think you touched on this a little bit last year, is Tom Brady slowly kind of eroding. I mean, there was a crossing route in that game where Gronkowski's dragging across the field, and it is a throw Tom Brady would make with his eyes closed in his sleep for his entire career. He missed him by 4 feet with no pressure around him. I don't think he's playing like the same Tom Brady we've seen. And we can make excuses for him and talk about the lack of receivers and they haven't done this and you trade away Logan Mankins. I don't know. There was a couple of examples when he's got time in that pocket and has layup throws that he's missed.
Right.
I think you have to start having that discussion a little bit. I mean, the guy's not getting any younger, and I think we're starting to finally see a little bit of that erosion.
Do you think, though, Handsome, now you watch all these games, you watch all the East games, certainly, with great purpose. Is there any of the, or do you now buy that any of those three teams are good enough to get past the Patriots, who clearly are just not a juggernaut team that's going to walk over?
Right. And that's the reason, yeah, I do buy. I think, I don't know which of those three teams I would put it on right now. And they all have flaws, but for the first time in a while, so do the Patriots. The Patriots have significant flaws as well. And you know, this league is interesting in the first 4 to 6 weeks of the season as teams begin to work out, like, what is the blueprint to beat each team? And mm-hmm. then that's where you get to the point that the Bengals or Seahawks are just tough to overcome. But I think people are going to see where the Patriots' weak spots are. And you know, they're playing a number one team's schedule through the season, and so they're gonna run into the Broncos, they're gonna run into the Bengals, and they're gonna have a hard time if the Jets or the Dolphins or the Bills get on a little roll at any point, and make the most of those points in the schedule where theirs is a little softer. Then yeah, I can totally see the Patriots getting knocked off.
You know, one interesting point. I was talking to an executive, and I was talking about the Bengals. And what you said, Dave. I said, look, the Bengals to me look like the best team in football right now. Now we'll see what Andy Dalton can do when they get to the postseason. So I was having this conversation with his executive, and he said, man, I'd almost be a little bit concerned if I were the Bengals. And I'm like, what? He's like, I want to be playing my best right. football as we mm-hmm. go towards the stretch. He's like, they're playing all their best football right now. How much, you know, it's kind of interesting how people look at things a little bit differently there.
Yeah, you kind of already, if you're the Bengals, you kind of are holding your breath. Please, no one get hurt until the playoffs come around. We want to be right. Let's talk about the team that I think, if you polled Football America, they would tell you is still the favorite to get out of the AFC. It's the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Are you out of here, Handsome? That's it for you? Handsome's on his way to London, England. He's going to be hanging out with our pal Jeff Darlington out there.
Wow.
All the best. Cheers.
When you're with Jeff, do you match his skinny tie with your skinny tie?
Jeff is skinnier overall, so no, I cannot do that.
All right. Have a gay old time there, Hans. Are
you
going to bring
much.
Us back a treat or
I'll
two?
I'll bring you and Black Tie and DJ and our friend Elliot Harrison a gift. from London.
Wow, that's a promise right there.
I keep my promises.
Fare thee well, handsome Hank. Have a good, safe trip there. But what about it, DJ? The Broncos, everybody's talking about, not every, Phil Sims in the broadcast yesterday mentions the moral victory. Hey, I think the Broncos really proved something to themselves. And Peyton Manning's in his 17th year. Moral victories for this guy, for this team that went all the way to the Super Bowl? What do you think about what we saw up in Seattle yesterday?
Well, I think you look at it. I look at it in terms of, you know, the matchup is difficult for them. And we look at that Super Bowl, right, where the Giants had played the Patriots and lost to them in a somewhat close game, right? Then they turn around and beat them in the Super Bowl. And a lot was made of the fact that the Giants gained some confidence from that game earlier in the season. I think if they get blown out in Seattle, if they were to meet in a rematch of the Super Bowl, I think there is a lot of doubt hanging in your mind after you've got clobbered twice. I think the fact that they were competitive in this game, I do buy into a little bit of that. I think you go into a rematch, if they were to see each other again, you say, you know what, we found some holes in this defense. We were able to exploit them. We ran out of time, couldn't finish it, but there is some positive to take from that. Even in your year 17, I know it's not in our, you know, you want to be the most competitive guy. It's win or lose and nothing else matters. I do think you gained something from that.
Well, I suppose I agree, because at 17-5, I guess, it occurred to me, like, and they were just doing nothing, the Broncos. Everything that they were trying, it was as though the Seahawks knew it was coming. I mean, pretty much every snap of the ball, and maybe that had a lot to do with the fact that Manning likes to make his calls at the line of scrimmage, and you can't do that with the 12s making all that noise. I thought, boy, this team's just completely overmatched. This is one of those matchup things that they just don't know, that they don't have a response to. But then by the end of the game, I do kind of buy it. But I will say this, what I always say about Peyton Manning, say whatever you want. He was great. He brought the team back. But prove me wrong on this. Come overtime, that guy did nothing. He did absolutely nothing in that overtime.
Yeah. Damashek's a genius.
Thank you, AJ Hawk. There you go. Just plain Hawk.
By the way, how often do you have AJ Hawk on?
Once every 6 weeks or so. We like to check in with our pal.
I think it's more frequent than that.
Well, listen, I'm not gonna apologize for.
Oh, I think it's cute. I think you guys have a nice friendship.
Now he's not AJ anymore, by the way. He's just Hawk. Rebranding
like
him.
Like
this
that.
And I want him to be a big star. I want him to be, you know, a top 5 or 10 star in the NFL. The way he does that is by eschewing a first name altogether and just being Hawk. And phase two of my plan is the next time he makes a big play in Lambeau, he does the Lambeau leap, punctuated by grabbing a beer out of somebody's hand and chugging it in the middle
of
the game. He'll get suspended, you understand, for a game
branding,
I mean, through the roof. He'll be a legend for all of time. Can't put a price tag on that.
All right. I was just pointing out a fact. You guys seem to be pretty close.
Now, after the game, Chris Harris says that he thinks Russell Wilson is better than Andrew Luck. I think this is a matter of just getting swept up in a game, a competitive game. Russell Wilson makes some plays in overtime. With that scrambling in particular. But Andrew Luck is the better player, correct?
I think so. I think everything that Russell Wilson does, Andrew Luck can do. And I don't know that Russell Wilson can do everything Andrew Luck does. And he's a bigger guy as well.
It's an interesting time because I always say Aaron Rodgers is the best there is. And he, even in that game against the Lions, that, by the way, the most inexplicable result of them all. The Raiders almost winning or at least forcing an overtime in Foxborough, a head scratcher. The Saints, who absolutely had to win that game. They couldn't go to 0-3. And by the way, I will say, even though they did get it, look up their schedule. They should win their next two before they go into a bye. They should be 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
Then go into their bye. Look at the 10-game stretch that they have coming out of that. It is brutal. There's no gimmies. I know they win in the Superdome more often than not, but they have some tough road games and some tough home games coming up. It's not a lock for them.
They're not locked in. I mean, they're just not in any kind of rhythm.
It's
or
weird
sync.
That they're yeah. – But the weirdest game of all is the Packers and Lions, Stafford and Rodgers, and those two high-powered offenses. Between the two of them, two offensive touchdowns. What gives? Are those defense? I have made a case that Packers defense is officially fixed. I've told my friend Hawk that for one. But also, I guess Sue looks a little bit better than he has. I mean, people are trying to make that case. I mean, are the defenses good, or is there something going on with these two teams? Because the Lions only scored 7 down in Carolina last week.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at kind of the last couple meetings with the Lions and the Packers, the Lions have had, you know, they've had some success. Even some tight games they might have lost over the last few years, they've been able to do some things against them, and I think it all comes down to up front. I think up front on the defensive line, Detroit's better than Green Bay significantly. They don't have to send a lot of guys, a lot of four. And they sprinkled in some five-man pressures on, obviously, the one where Tulloch finishes the sack and then pulls the Bill Grammatica and,
oh,
and blows
children,
out his knee. That was brutal.
Please don't do that, yes.
But I don't think the Packers are very good up front. And on the defensive side of the ball, you can say they're fixed, but I thought Detroit had success running the football against them. Clay Matthews, it seems like it's, you know, here we go again. You know, some kind of a pull. He seems to always have these kind of issues, can't stay on the field. Reggie Bush gets around the end, you know, easily, which you can't let happen. I don't know. I think they're better defensively. I don't know that I'm willing to say that they're completely fixed.
If you can run the ball on them or pretty much any team this side of the Philadelphia Eagles, who time of possession is completely irrelevant. But, I mean, they really did control the ball. The Lions did. 38 minutes plus they held the ball. They kept it away from Aaron Rodgers. That's the winning formula if you can do that.
Yeah.
And it
Aaron Rodgers was frustrated, by the way, after that game. Did you see his presser afterwards?
I didn't.
He talked about, you know, look, the, you know, the lack of execution, that was mentioned. But to me, it was interesting. On three different occasions, he said, we failed to make adjustments on three different occasions. Well, when I look at that, failed to make adjustments, that's not me as a quarterback. That's a coaching issue to me. So that, to me, was
a
little bit interesting.
Is there a rift there between McCarthy and Rodgers?
I don't know if I'm reading into that or not, but he was clearly frustrated. I want to give him a pass because it's right after the game and you're frustrated. But definitely, I think he felt, you know, hey, we should have done some things differently. They didn't run the ball that much. And when you watch that game, Detroit, they didn't have to put anybody down in the box. They play with two high safeties, so there's no way for them to get big plays down the field, and you still can't run the football. That's troubling.
Well, that's interesting. But like I say, it's an interesting time. We do this probably more often than we should, kind of like having Hawk on the show, according to Jeremiah.
No, I love Hawk. I want more Hawk.
I got to say, too, another of our great pals from that play between the lines, Swag Ike Taylor, just a terrible injury. Yeah. Heartbreaking to see him break his arm in that fashion there. We'll talk about the Steelers in a minute, but that was sad to see, and hopefully he gets back out there. Troy Polamalu says that he will get back out there before the end of the season. We'll see if that comes to pass.
That's a Jekyll and Hyde team, by the way, your Steelers.
We'll talk about them in just a minute here. But in the meantime, people love the quarterback rankings, and 3 weeks in, rate them for me now. Aaron Rodgers is always my number one, but I'm shaky on that one at this point.
All of them across the league is what you want to
know? No, you don't have to go 1 through 32. But
no,
just let's get
the top guys.
Because here's something else I tweeted out. All right, we're into the Steelers, so let me make my Steeler case.
Yep.
Let's talk about that game, and then we'll go back and rate the top six QBs or top seven. But, you know, off of Chris Harris's comments about Russell Wilson better than Andrew Luck, which I disagree with. But I tweeted out this morning that in Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers now have players that rank in the top half dozen at their positions.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, you could say Lawrence Timmons is probably in the top six, inside LBs.
In the discussion.
He's terrific. He really is.
If you can count Darrell Washington coming back off suspension, that might bump him down a little
bit. All right, Luke Kuechly. Vontaze Burfict.
Luke
Kuechly's got
a place next to him. Is pretty good, too. Thomas Davis is really good.
All right. Well, Lawrence Timmons is in the conversation.
Either way,
and I don't evaluate offensive line.
There's nothing wrong with being in the conversation.
Yeah,
come on.
But those three guys, nobody said boo to my tweet about Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell. Yes, of course. Those two guys are in the top half dozen at their positions.
They came at you at Ben?
But Ben Roethlisberger is no longer a top six quarterback. How dare he? Maybe top 10. And you watch the game against Carolina, and to me, he's dynamite. Yes,
yeah.
He's not as accurate as the other guy, as those big four, the so-called big four, but he makes plays that none of those four could dream about making. And in the history of the world, maybe three other people could make some of the plays that he makes, including the touchdown pass the first touchdown pass to Antonio Brown when he hard pump fakes to the left side and then turns to his right and just kind of looks up and sees AB raise a hand and just flips its sidearm as he gets hit for a touchdown. I mean, that's just not a play that very many human beings in the history of football could ever make. A dynamite play once again.
Well, trust me, I've seen enough of Ben Roethlisberger to put him up there in that mix. The interesting thing for me is the guy we touched on, though, is Andrew Luck. And we talked about, you know, him or Russell Wilson, and he can do all that stuff. And the way you're describing Ben Roethlisberger, I kind of go through the Rolodex in my mind. I'm like, okay, Andrew Luck probably be the one guy that could say
exactly
they could
right.
do those types of things.
Yep.
Which, again, watching this week, I know Jacksonville's terrible, but I couldn't help during that game sit and think, how in the world against Philadelphia do you hand the ball off to Trent Richardson on first and second down and take the ball out of Andrew Luck's hands in that game?
It's so true.
They should be 2-1.
All right, so let's get to it then. We've seen dicey performances from Rodgers. Chris Harris says he thinks Russell Wilson is better than Andrew Luck. Very few people agree with my opinion that Ben Roethlisberger is maybe in the top four QBs, certainly in the top five. So rate them out for me here.
Well, with what we've seen so far this year, this is what I would go at. Peyton Manning, even though they struggled, I'd still put him in the number one spot right now for this year. He would be number one for me. Number two for me, gosh.
Brady has not been.
No, Brady's not.
So
Brady's
far.
Not in the mix for me there. Number two for me, from what we've seen so far this year, I might go Matt Ryan.
Wow!
Just with what we've seen so far this season, so I would go Peyton Manning number one. I would go Matt Ryan number two.
But he didn't like the pressure that Cincinnati put on him in week
two.
No,
Cincinnati's got after everybody that they've played, but still, look what he did on Thursday night was, you know, piece of cake against Tampa. But I would still have him as number two. I'll put Andrew Luck down at number three.
This is a wacky list officially.
I got
now,
Andrew
DJ.
Luck at number three. I will still put, this is where we get down here.
Breeze, Rodgers have not been mentioned yet.
Breeze would be four, and I would put Rodgers five, Roethlisberger six.
Tom Brady is not in your top six.
No, just from what you asked, what we've seen.
I understand. It's still remarkable.
Year. Yeah, what we've seen right now, who's playing the best football of those quarterbacks, that's how I would go one
and
through
six. And you would roll. So given this 3 weeks' worth of information, if I said, now you choose these guys and you get them, you have to roll with these guys the rest of the way, would you put Tom Brady ahead of any of those guys going
I still wouldn't put Brady ahead of them. The one guy, though, that would drastically move up if we're looking forward would be Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Look, they haven't got things rolling yet, but I do believe that's going to happen. They'll start to click in. And I've always said I think he is the most talented quarterback in the NFL. And I don't come off that. Just from what we've seen, though, so far, that's why I have him down a little bit.
Wow, remarkable stuff. What do you make of the Kerry Williams thing real quick? I mean, after a victory, you get on the thing, and then he refers to himself as a man. At least, a lot of other guys agree with me, but I'm man enough to stand in front of – well, not the guy who I want to address here, but I'll address you media, and then you can pass it off to – you can let him know what I say. what are you doing, Kerry Williams?
He's been attacked by every quarterback that they go up against, and he gets beat every single week. So I think sometimes those guys, at that position, you have to – it's a confidence position. Mm-hmm. So how do you justify keeping your confidence up? You have to engineer some thought in your mind of why am I getting beat week after week? Well, I'm just tired. I'm run down, and I've lost my legs, and it's the coach's fault. But I'm telling you, when you put together a scouting report, when you're doing advanced scouting reports for the teams you're getting ready to play, and you present that to your coaching staff, I would always, when you're working on those, third down, this is where, this is the receiver that they like to work with. This is a guy you need to circle and be aware of. And then on the other side of the ball, you say, this is the guy we want to attack. Yeah, Kerry Williams is highlighted as the guy that teams want to attack. So, I get what he's doing. He's trying to engineer some confidence,
but
he hasn't played very good. I don't think it has to do with Chip Kelly running extra wind sprints in practice.
I would anticipate that Kerry Williams is not long for the Eagles, because they have no other options. He's there through the season, but I cannot imagine that he hangs with that team long term. Let's go quick, some no huddle here. Let's blow through some real quick here as we wrap up the podcast here. And as always, make sure you check out again on available on iTunes, Stitcher, and at NFL.com. The Move the Sticks podcast, gangbuster stuff. The likes of Chris Mortensen, I see, are tweeting about it, and he listens.
Yeah, Morton gave us a little love on there. By the way, quick thing for this week. We've touched on a lot of the skill positions this week. We're going to really jump into the offensive line, defensive line stuff, which might not sound exciting, but it'll be good.
I want to do exactly that, as a matter of fact, with our pal, former offensive lineman Ross Tucker. I want it because everything.
I'm going to bring in Baldy.
All right,
and he gets excited, and I get to look at that finger.
I was thinking of asking Baldy if he would do it, but he likes you better than he likes me, so I'll go with Ross Tucker. Real quick, Chargers. Do you buy my preseason prediction that they can take the AFC West?
I buy that they are one of the top three or four teams in the AFC. I think they're a contender in that division. I'll still stick with Denver, but I think it's going to come down to the end.
You have the Bengals looking like the Bengals are looking right now at 3-0. The Ravens have scratched their way to 2-1. The Steelers now at 2-1, and the Browns look good. They could be 3-0. They could also be 0-3, but they're compelling week to week. Is the AFC North the best division now?
I was thinking of the NFC West. The Rams have struggled. The Niners aren't right. Cardinals look great. Seattle, I mean, that's a two-team division right now as it looks. So, yeah, I would agree with you.
And by the way, with the Niners, I understand that they were 1-2 a year ago. So that this is the excuse that they are making internally, and their fans are saying, oh, listen, let's not get crazy here. However, the big difference is, like you said, the Arizona Cardinals. When it's a two-team race and you're chasing one team, it's one thing. When you have to overcome two teams to even get to the postseason or at least keep up with the Joneses enough so that you can get that second wild card, it's not easy.
Quick on them, though. They have got to just survive at 500 until they get everybody back. That's their challenge.
But when they do get everybody back, then they have two games against the Seahawks to begin with. It's not easy. So,
by the way, we have TVs in this room right now, and when you're interviewing me, whether it's a jockey underwear ad going on, I don't know what if you engineer that or how that works.
It was a mix of kind of romantic business, awkwardness.
Who was that?
Eric Decker.
Nice.
Horse and carriage.
That was the horse. And I fell very much
how
in love.
How did that do, by the way? How did the horse carriage Central Park pod do?
It did pretty well. Not as good as the plane cast.
Plane cast is still the top shelf?
One. Yes.
We do have to do
when
another
When are we going to do another one of those?
I know. Black tie. That's on you. You have to schedule another mode of transportation cast for it.
What about, can we do a roller coaster cast?
Yes. I'm such a DJ fan that I'm willing to even make it a Move the Sticks podcast. Do that. I want the hot air balloon ride for the Move the Sticks.
I want to go, what about like a Ferris wheel pod?
Okay. Me, you, Chris Mortensen, and Deion Sanders. We just ride.
Beautiful.
We figure it all out.
I'm in.
All right. Real
Come
quick.
On, player. What's that? What's up with that?
All right. I didn't know the name of his bit. What's the difference? You think he knows the Sheck Report? If I asked Deion Sanders, hey, do the Sheck Report thing. You think he would know to go, shame? I doubt it. By the way, your voices have been heard. We're back to uninterrupted version of the Sheck Report. Your
I had people hitting me up on Twitter wanting to fix the Sheck Report.
You said that about 2 weeks in a row now. Is that legitimate?
It is. No, it is. It is absolutely. Okay. It's a done deal. Yes, as of this week, we're
Speaking
back
Speaking of done deals, we got to wrap.
I know. We're wrapping it up. I want to ask DJ this, though. Jameis Winston, to me, given the real world ugliness, and Jameis Winston was accused of some nastiness himself, but I can't help it. The crab leg thing is silly. I mean, it's a crime and everything. It's not funny, but it's sort of in sharp relief to some of the, like I say, the really dark stuff that people have been accused of or convicted of or whatever.
He's been
else.
Accused of.
I said,
really,
I'm saying,
really
I know he has, but I mean the uniform thing. I thought that was really funny that he came out. What was he doing?
That he came out in the uniform. The
what
best was the look
there?
On Jimbo Fisher's face.
How do you get to a point of walking out onto the field when you know you're suspended for the game in your uniform?
I was thinking about this though, because somebody said this to me, and you were the first person that I thought of, because he said, the only thing that bothered me about Jameis Winston, that whole deal on the game, I said, what's that? He's like, the hat that he was wearing. That's the worst hat I've ever seen. I thought Sheck would have totally noticed the fact that he had a hat. It wasn't pulled down. It just kind of looked different.
How concerned is that? Do you think now people
are there's major,
real?
major concerns. Major.
I mean, I don't, some of the stuff you do kind of laugh off, but it is a different.
It's an accumulated thing.
The temperature is quite a bit different than what it was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
now when guys are getting put down for seasons and maybe for their careers, it's really isn't a laughing matter. Him walking out in a uniform, however, did make me laugh. But I'm right. Teams are going to say, yeah. I mean, 5 years ago, I scoffed when people said, no one's ever going to sign Mike Vick. No one wants to deal with that. I said, listen, if he's good enough to play, there will be some teams. I now think, though, with the new climate, all of a sudden, now I think that teams are legitimately going to be scared away.
I agree. Now, this is that's a long discussion for another day. We'll get into it. But to summarize, it's a big issue for a lot of people you talk to.
Yeah, not a breezy way to end the conversation. And this is an
The jockey commercial is over, by the way, just in case you're wondering.
That's for the best for all of us. Yep.
It was
creating
a mix of kind of romantic business, awkwardness.
That's a great clip.
That's Eric Decker reviewing the
how many episodes of the Move the Sticks podcast before you start clipping things and you kind of throw them back in my face?
Let's give it about 20.
I got to get to 20
right
episodes before we do this little fun back and forth that you and Sheck have.
We got to have a library of sound back.
I did. Wow. I'm sure I'm not the first person to say this to you, but I have a good idea. For so long, we've needed to get a little theme music, a little sting song when we introduced Daniel Jeremiah. And it occurred to me finally, it's got to be Jeremiah's Talking Football. Something like that.
Yep. When we played Louisiana Tech when I was in college, I got hurt the week before. And I was so on the sideline just wearing the jeans and the jersey. Unlike Jameis, I knew not to wear my pads when I wasn't going to play. And the entire student section sang that song from start to finish.
Really?
Yeah. You know who they had on that team? Troy Edwards. Remember him? Steeler?
Sure, I do.
Tim Rattay, first quarterback.
Draft pick. Yep. Yeah, you know what? Troy Edwards cost the Steelers the AFC title game. You could make a strong case, at least in January of 2002, because he – I don't want to even tell the whole story. Wow. Go back and look at the tape, but he really did. That was his most significant.
So long story short, I could get a theme song. Is that what you're saying?
I will see to it. I'm going to contact the one-man house band, Dick Manx, and see if we can
do
that. Last thing I just got to say, because I got some heat for saying the Giants were going to win.
Yeah.
I said the Giants were going to beat the Texans. Some Texans fans reached out to me. How dare you? How can you do this? What a slight, so on and so forth. But you know the Jenga theory that I have. That
the one
certain
piece.
Guys, you take one guy off a team, the whole thing can implode, and it's hard to figure out who that guy is. You know it's Calvin Johnson for the Lions, but other teams it's murkier. You would have said it's J.J. Watt, except
you said Arian Foster before. I've heard you say
that's right.
Arian Foster
2-14 with J.J. Watt having a healthy and productive season, so he's not that team's Jenga piece. It's Arian Foster. Yep. They lose again. What gives that they can't win football games if Arian Foster ain't out there?
I thought we were wrapping this thing like 10
we
minutes ago.
We are. All right. I just think it's fascinating, isn't it? Jenga piece.
Everything you say is fascinating.
Last bite.
You're
to,
sweet.
To end the
are you
show?
Flattering to deceive?
Possibly.
Last bite to end the show.
Hey, I'm Russell Wilson, and I throw a sexy deep ball.
Shout out to that touchdown he threw this past week.
There you go.
You know what? Black Tie is really feeling it, DJ. If you haven't noticed, he's beams because people now tweet at him when Russell Wilson throws a touchdown pass. They tweet him, "Hey, Black Tie, how about that sexy deep ball?"
Beautiful.
Oh, it was one of the best. It was real sexy. It was real good.
All right, enough. So, yeah. But between the jockey underpants and now you talking about
it was a mix of kind of romantic. triple
crowns. Freeze the charm.
All right. The great Move the Sticks. Follow him on Twitter. Make sure you find his podcast right out of the gate. It's captivating stuff and essential stuff if you are tuned into the football season,
Dave,
college
honestly,
and pro.
Have you listened to the podcast yet?
I have. Yes, I do. Yeah. I listened to Around the NFL a lot. You know what?
But we've established, by the way, of the spinoffs.
Please don't tell them I said that. But yeah, of course.
I am going to get a shirt. By the way, you inspired me. I'm going to get a shirt, just a polo shirt with the cursive D,
like Laverne. That's what I told him to do. I like the idea of that. Yeah, you know what? I do listen to my colleagues' podcast because a lot of people say, "Hey, we're all on the same team."
Hey, rising tide
for
me pulls all boats.
For
right?
me, calling us a team isn't strong enough. You're my family. All right, let's go watch Jay Cutler and Geno Smith get it on. We'll be back later in the week to give you our picks with the Red Challenge Flag segment. We need someone to rise up and take on Elliot Harrison because Handsome Hank, as you just heard, is on his way to London, England.
Well, I can't wait to see what he brings us back.
So we'll see who he brings in. Oh, yeah, he'll bring some crisps.
He'll
bring us some nice chips, something like that. All right, and by the way, last thing is NFL.com, we are up and running now officially. Like I say, it's not just Studio 66 any longer. It's Studio 66 Maximum Strength! What makes it Maximum Strength is we now have not one, not two, but three video cameras up in here, and we are showing you video. At some point, we'll show you
cameras in here. We've got a camera back here in the control room.
We've got all – see, because, of course, now Black Tie is such a celebrity that people have to be able to see what he's up to during the podcast. Either way, we have all this video. At some point, we'll put up the entire podcast for you, the Move the Sticks, Around the NFL, the Coaches Show, the College Show, and so on. But in the meantime, we're putting out little videos all the time. So keep up to speed. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Damashek. Producer Black Tie, or producer TD is how you follow Black Tie. We're pushing out these videos a couple times a week now. It's a way to see what goes on inside Studio 66. Maximum strength. So be on the lookout for those. And like I say, we'll be back to Kibitz with you later in the week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.